Thank you so much, Brother Cantrell.
I already feel at home. In this kind of atmosphere of worship and praise, you can't help but feel at home. I want you to remember one thing, young people. The devil entered into the Garden of Eden to deceive Adam and Eve. He walked in. But when God got finished with him, he crawled out. Now, the enemy may walk in here and think he's going to do some damage. But when God gets finished with him, he's going to crawl out. Now, you just get ready for it. The enemy's going to oppose what the Holy Ghost wants to do. But I believe there's some young people that understand that they have already been empowered by the Holy Ghost to bring down the strongholds of the enemy and build up the kingdom of God. I don't know whether you sense it or not, but there's a tremendous anointing on this service right now. The Holy Ghost is definitely in this place. And there is no reason for a single individual to walk out of here oppressed by the enemy, bound by all sorts of habits from this world. There is no reason for any young person to walk out of here without the Holy Ghost. I believe that every individual that has been bound or oppressed by the enemy can be set free to the glory of Jesus Christ. Anybody that does not have the Holy Ghost, you can receive it before you leave this building, because it is here, and my Jesus is here on mission, and my Jesus is here on purpose. I don't believe that my God comes just to entertain us for a recreational deal. This is not recreation. This is a battlefield. And it's time for us to show up for battle. What an alive spirit. And thank you, Brother Cantrell, and Youth Committee and District Board, Western District, for allowing me this wonderful opportunity to come and minister the Word of God to this great convention, to all of these wonderful young people. I love the way you spontaneously worship Jesus Christ. If I got to force you to worship God, would you just please sit down and hush? If I got to make you do something that you don't really want to do, but you feel like you got to do it because I'm making you do it, would you please sit down and hush? Why are you clapping your hands? Who's holding a gun to your head? Who's making you do that? There ought to be something bubbling up on the inside of you like a well of living art water. Spring it up. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. I want to talk to you about an incident that took place in the life of a strong man by the name of Samson. This incident is contained in Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. And came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, he didn't deny his conflict with the lion. He just didn't emphasize it and didn't have time to stop and discuss the negative situation that he had faced with the lion. His focus was not the conflict. His focus was extracting the honey in the midst of the conflict and passing it out to his parents. That I haven't got time to talk about how bad it is. I come to tell you how sweet it is. And I'm not in denial, and I'm not saying you won't have conflicts. You're going to have conflicts, but I am saying I'm just not going to emphasize them. I'm going to put my emphasis where it's going to do the most good, and that's finding honey in the midst of the conflict. But now there's a riddle in verse 14. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Then there's an answer to the riddle, which I believe is a recipe that turns riddles into revival. And I believe it's found in verse 18. And it's two questions. And when I answer these two questions scripturally, you'll have your recipe that'll turn riddles into revival. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? I'd like to preach to you from this text, slaying lions and passing out honey. That's what we've come to do in this youth convention. Let's defeat the enemy, and then let's start passing out the honey. Are you ready? Do you have any sweetness in serving Jesus? Do you still know He's good, wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? Then I want you to clap your hands unto the Lord and acknowledge Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Now you have to understand that Samson never faced this lion of opposition until he came to the vineyard at Timnath. You have got to understand that the enemy is not going to oppose you until you get hungry for something sweeter. And he got desirous for some grapes that were hanging on the vine. And when he began to reach for it, that's when the lion roared against him. As long as he was satisfied with the dusty trails of the Judean hills, the enemy never bothered him and never roared against him. But when he desired for something a little more and he wanted to taste the sweetness of the grapes, that's when the enemy opposed him. Now, young people, you got to understand the devil's not going to oppose you as long as you're satisfied with dead, dull, boring church. As long as you're satisfied with a lifeless spiritual existence, the enemy is not going to fight against you. But when you get hungry for something better and sweeter, the lion will roar. And I've got news for you. I'm not satisfied with ordinary church. You can come to church and just have a little trickle of the Spirit if you want to. But there is something born in me that I was made for a mission. I wasn't made to warm a bench. I wasn't made just to come and see how much I can get out of it. But I'm here to see what God can do for those who need His power. As a matter of fact, the enemy's going to oppose you in direct proportion to your hunger. Just how hungry are you? That's just how much opposition you're going to get. But I've got news for you. He can roar all he wants to, but there's still power in the name of Jesus to bring about his demise. And I'm going to tell you that you that live here in the Western District, there is a great force and a great evil that tries to work against you. But I've got news for the enemy. There's some young people that understand that they are victors in Jesus Christ. And they're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they know that there's some sweetness in serving God. Hey, as long as you're embittered and you're always feeling the drudgery of doing the will of God, the devil's never going to oppose you. But when you find out that this is the sweetest thing that's ever happened to anybody, this is the best thing that's ever happened to anybody, that's when the enemy is going to start roaring against you. Finding out, hey, I'm living for God and I'm doing the will of God and I'm glad about it. Come on, young people, it's not a time to hang our head because we're apostolic and we live holy and we look holy and there's places we don't go and there's things we don't do. Some of you are embittered about this and you're hanging your head because there's things you can't do. There's things your pastor preaches against. But I found some sweetness in this thing. I found some honey in the midst of it.
There's a reason why we preach holiness. And it's not just don't do this and don't do that, but it's to protect our soul from a world system that wants to drag us through the spiritual mire of their debauchery and ungodliness. But the lion's going to roar against you because he doesn't want you to have any joy in this. He doesn't want you to delight in this. He wants you to sit down. Don't enjoy yourself tonight. Don't clap your hands. Don't worship God tonight. Don't get excited about Jesus. The devil don't care if you come to this youth convention, but he does care whether or not you start enjoying it and finding out this is the best thing that's ever happened to anybody. You get a revelation of how good this really is. Now, Samson walked into a vineyard at Timnath. That word Timnath in the Hebrew means an assigned portion of what rightfully belongs to you. Samson got an understanding that there's some things that rightfully belong to me, and I'm going for it. Now, I've just accepted in my spirit that revival belongs to the United Pentecostal Church. Holy Ghost revival belongs to the United Pentecostal Church. Hey, the devil didn't like that, did he? I think I ought to just say it again. Revival belongs to the United Pentecostal Church. Rightfully belongs to us. It's an assigned portion. The law of God made provision for Samson to be able to glean from the four corners. He had a right as a sojourner to stop by this vineyard and glean from the grapes. He had a right to it. The law of God, the word of God, gave him permission to reach out and touch the grapes and partake of them. But there were some landlords that didn't like the law of God, and they put lines in their vineyards to keep people out. And there's a lot of lines that people have put in the vineyard of God's promises to try and keep you from partaking of the sweetness of what God can do for your life. I've got news for you that there is a spirit that's running around. There's a lion that's roaring against our young people, and it's the lion of negative peer pressure. That's trying to force them into a mold and into a lifestyle that is not godly and not scriptural. But I have come to slay that lion in the name of Jesus. If you've got friends that are trying to push you to do the wrong thing, you need to change friends. If you are not the influence on them to push them into the right mold, you need to change friends. I refuse to succumb to that negative peer pressure and have our young people victims of that negative peer pressure. I think it's time we ought to create a positive peer pressure in the spirit. There ought to be such an atmosphere in this place that nobody can resist to praise God. Nobody can turn it down. Come on, young ladies, you ought not care what that young man thinks about you. If he don't like you worshiping God, you need to change friends. Young man, you shouldn't worry about what that young lady's going to think about you if you're spiritual and you're clapping your hands and you're made for a mission and you made up your mind, I'm going to serve Jesus. Come on, it's time to slay that lion. It's time to tackle it. There's some grapes hanging on the vine. There's a revival, and we don't need that negative peer pressure getting in the way. There's another lion I need to slay while I'm slaying that one, and that's the lion of cliques. We don't need cliques in the church. Little special groups that we get in. I believe that we ought to be the friendliest bunch in town. And I don't think we ought to be afraid of worldly young people coming to our churches trying to find God. I don't think we should be afraid of them affecting us. I think they need to be afraid of us affecting them. I don't want our young people looking like the world, but I want the world to start looking like our young people. Hallelujah. Is that all right? And I'm going to tell you, I preach a gospel that can make that kind of change in their life. I preach an apostolic message of repentance. What a baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire that can turn somebody's life around. Young people, if you're ever in a battle, and you got your gun aimed at the enemy and they're firing bullets at you right and left, The last thing you want to hear when you pull the trigger is a click. Clicks will kill you in battle. Friend, I want you to know that we're in a war, and clicks will kill us in the battle. When we pull the trigger, we better not hear a click. We better hear an explosion in the Holy Ghost. When you decide to stand up and worship God and say, I'm going to enjoy my salvation and I'm going to enjoy living for God, you shouldn't have to look around you and find out what somebody's going to say about you or what are they thinking about me. I want you to get into a spiritual mindset where we slay the lion. I don't care what anybody's got to say or think about it. I got to have one thing. I need a move of the Holy Ghost. We're not here to talk about all the conflicts all the time. Don't tell me how bad it is. Don't tell me how tough it is. You say, Brother Kinsey, are you denying that it's bad and tough? No, I'm not denying that. Yes, we've got some bad times on our hands. Yes, it's some tough times. But I'm just not here to emphasize that. Sure, I've got to fight some battles. Yes, there's some devils that come against me. Yes, I've got some conflicts that I got to handle. But I just want you to know that I found some honey. Yes, there's some things that are coming against us in this hour. I know that. But I think it's time for us to slay the enemy in the name of Jesus. And not emphasize. Hallelujah. Come on over here, lion. You, right there in the red suspenders. Oh, red. Red tie. Red suspenders. Now, I got to show you how to handle this lion because Samson illustrated it so beautifully. You got to understand that if you're going to defeat these conflicts, if you're going to overcome these negative peer pressures, and you're going to become a positive effect on other people to influence them to become what you are, instead of you being influenced to become what they are, God wants to make you the influence on them to turn them into what you are. That's what we want. Hey, when the world comes to our church, I want them to feel the conviction of their sins and fall on their knees and repent. Now, I believe anybody can get the Holy Ghost. I believe Jesus will give anybody the Holy Ghost, but I believe you got to repent first. I still believe we need some old-fashioned repentance in our church. I don't believe a sinner can jump from sin to the Holy Ghost without going by the altar and repenting. But when they repent, I said when they repent, you better watch out. My Jesus is going to fulfill His promise. Now come over here, lion. That lion jumped out at him at the vineyard at Timnath. Now this is something, I'm reaching for the grapes. But you gotta roar. And while I'm reaching for the grapes, and the lion roars against me. See that? Come on, you ain't much of a lion, you need to roar. Alright, now that's a little better. I got a little more of a challenge on my hands. You know, I like the way Samson handled this little situation. Because there was just something about it. He didn't wait. And he didn't have to go on a 3-day fast and call the pastor and call an all-night prayer meeting to find out what he needed to do with this situation. He didn't need to search the scripture to find out whether or not there was some loophole he could get out of it. Did y'all hear that? Y'all didn't act like y'all heard that one. He didn't search the scripture to try to find out if there was a loophole around it. As a matter of fact, he said, come on over here, lion, you're dancing all over the place. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. I don't know just when the Spirit of God came on him, but he reached out for this lion to defeat him, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came on him. And we've got some kind of notion in Pentecost that we got to feel something before we start praising God. Some of you will never praise God if you do that. Oh, when I just know everything's just right, that's when I'm going to get out and do something. Friend, if you've got that kind of spirit, you'll never do anything for God. friend, I don't care what that enemy does. I don't care how he roars against you. You need to move whether you feel anything or not. The Bible says, clap your hands, all your people. You know what that means? That means whether you feel it or not, the scriptural injunction is clap your hands. Do you know why Jews introduced hand clapping to worship in the Old Testament? It's because it reminded them of chain snapping when they came out of Egypt. And so they brought hand clapping into their worship to remind them that when they walked out of Egypt, the chains snapped and they were set free. Now come on, young people, when you get out of the world, all of its habits and all of its ungodliness needs to snap. The chain needs to break. And every time you clap your hands in church, it ought to be significant. It ought to hold a certain significance. These are chains snapping, devil. You have no hold on me anymore. You have no power over me anymore. I slain the lion. Come on, Red. The lion roared against him. He didn't have to figure it out whether or not he had the power to handle it. He knew he had the power to handle it. He just grabbed a hold of it and began to defeat him in the name of his God. Now I want you to understand something, young people. We have got to get a spiritual understanding that Samson understood that when he was born, there was a covenant that was established at his birth that gave him strength and authority to defeat that lion. He didn't have to figure it out. He didn't have to go on a 3-day fast. He didn't have to go to an all-night prayer meeting. He knew that when he was born, he had a covenant established with his God. Now I'm going to tell you something, young people, those of you that have been born again. I said when you were born again, you got a covenant established with your God that gives you power in the name of Jesus to defeat the enemy. You don't need to get it if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. You've already got it! What you need to do is quit sitting around and start using what you've got. Quit waiting till you feel some emotion and just put it into action and use what you've got. Hey, we sang that song tonight. I've got it. I've got it. Do y'all know when that song was introduced to Pentecost back in the early 70s when Andre Crouch wrote that song? And we got to singing it all over the country. I mean, you talk about, we sang, I've got it, I've got it. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. And we'd sing it 875 times a night. I mean, just over and over. I've got, and we'd all shout the house down just like y'all did, just running around, just can't behave yourself in church. I've got it, I've got it. And I honestly asked the Lord, I said, now God, how can a dumb little old song like that take Pentecost by storm? It took Pentecost by storm when it first came out. I've got it, I've got it. And I honestly believe the Lord spoke this to my heart, and He said, for the first time in the lives of Pentecostals, they're actually claiming they got something instead of trying to get something. Now come on, young people. If you've got Jesus, you've got what it takes. If you've got the apostolic message, you've got what it takes. We are already way more educated beyond our obedience. It's time for us to start putting into action what we know is right and what we believe in. I'm going to tell you why Samson was able to handle this lion and not ever discuss or emphasize the conflict with him. Because he had romance on his mind, and there was a woman he was dating. And all he had on his mind was love. He was so in love that all of the opposition was just minimized in his thinking. His viewpoint, his perspective completely altered because he was in love. I just want you to know, young people, when you fall in love with Jesus and when you really love him, all the oppositions and all the conflicts are minimized. Now I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody's got to make you clap your hands and make you come to church and make you live for God and make you do what's right, then it's no good. If somebody's got to make you stand on your feet and worship God, then you just might as well sit down. I just can't stand to have to fuss at people. I don't think it's a time to start fussing at people if they don't want to worship God. There ought to be something inside of you that says, I've got it. I've got it. There ought to be something on the inside of you that says, I love Jesus. There's no task. There's no battle. There's no conflict too great for me to handle. When you're in love with Jesus, you don't care what you got to go through to get to church. Just as long as you get there and God has his way and the Holy Ghost moves. See, I wasn't raised in a preacher's home. My mama went to church, but my daddy didn't. He wanted me to play basketball, but we didn't believe in playing basketball on an organized sports deal. And so I said, Daddy, I don't want to be a basketball player. I want to be a preacher. Now, my dad died when I was 17, and he blew smoke in my face all the way up to that point. But I have yet to put a cigarette to my lips. All of my formative years, my dad smoked. But I have yet to smoke a cigarette. Because when I was just a young kid, God got a hold of my heart and poured out his Holy Ghost on me. And I knew that when I had a hold of that Holy Ghost power, I had everything I needed to resist the temptation. Come on, young people, I don't care what you're going through. If you're in love with Jesus, you can make it. You can handle it. You can be something for God. God called me to preach when I was 13 years old. I went full-time at the age of 18. I have been full-time ever since that time. And I'm still preaching the gospel. And I just want you to know there's still a lot of lines I got to fight. But I'm not here to tell you about all the conflicts. I'm here to tell you how sweet it is. You can do it. You can do it. I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm saying that you do have conflicts. But you don't need to emphasize it. You need to slay that lion and find out that there's some honey in serving God and start passing it out and letting everybody taste how sweet it is. You need to let them see the victory in your life. You need to let them see the glory that's in your life. You need to let them see what God has done for you, your testimony. How many of you got a testimony? Look what the Lord has done for me. Come on now. Do we have a testimony for the world? Are we just a bunch of crippled old struggling Christians just trying to barely get to church and traumatized by that? So traumatized that we got to go to church three times a week, that we're just a hobbling around. You just better be glad I'm here, Brother Kinsey. I just barely made it. My God, what kind of Christianity is that? God wants warriors that can stand up and say, I'm in love with Jesus. No task, no trial, no trouble. It's too great. I want to serve the Lord. We need some people that can walk in here boldly and say, I'm here, and I'm here for a mission. I was made for a mission, and no devil's going to take it away. Because when he rent this lion, he rent him as if he would have rent a kid. That means a goat. He didn't see a lion. He saw a goat. Because when he compared his problem to the greatness of his God, it minimized his problem and cut it down to a goat. I'm going to tell you, your problem's not nearly as big as the devil's trying to make you think it is. Emotionally, it seems like it's bigger than what it really is. But I promise you, if you'll compare it to the greatness of your God, to the sweetness of your God, it'll be minimized. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm a child of God. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, washed in the blood of the Lamb. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, you don't have any scars. You better believe I've got some scars. I've gone through some rough times and some rough wind. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's brought me through every bit of it. And I got a testimony. I got a testimony. My testimony is the honey. Look what the Lord's done for me. I've got Jesus. I've got the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what's sweeter than honey. I'll tell you what's sweeter than honey. The Bible says that the word of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the law of the Lord is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. It's that word. Now, if you're going to defeat the enemy, you're not going to defeat the enemy with your opinion, your idea, or what you think about it. Well, now, this is what I think about it. Don't tell me, because I don't want to know, because it ain't going to help me none. I want to know, what does the Bible say? Now, when Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness of temptation, he did not use his opinion or his commentation on the scripture. He quoted the written word. And I'm going to tell you right now that your commentation on the scripture isn't going to save you. But what is written? Now, I hope y'all are going to love me here in the Western District, but I'm going to go ahead and preach just what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Now, I love music, and I loved all this singing, and it was just beautiful. And I just thank God for all of the music, but I'm going to tell you, music can't take the place of the preaching of the Word of God. Now, young people, I know you love music and you come from a music-oriented culture. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you right now, young people, you should never put the music in the place of the Word of God. This Word still holds preeminence. Because music can minister to you emotionally and still leave you spiritually deficient. But when you hear the Word of God can not only turn your emotions around, but it can also turn your heart around. Come on, we still need preaching. It's sweeter than honey. And if we're going to pass out the honey, then we need the testimony that comes from the Lord. This is what Jesus has done for me. This is what he said he would do. And he's done it. And he's kept me. And he's protected me. And I've gone through the storm. And I still love him. Hallelujah. But now we got to find out just what is stronger than a lion. Now come over here, lion. Now we know what's sweeter than honey. And when we go back to our conflicts, we find out that there's some sweetness in serving the Lord, because nothing happens to you that don't pass through the hand of your Father first. And you got to understand that my God is able, through every crisis, every storm that you encounter, he is able to work everything for your benefit and for your good. Now that's Word. That's Bible. I don't care what's going on in your life. My God can use it to make you what he wants you to be. I don't care what you were raised in, young people. I don't care what you're being raised in right now. I don't care what your home life is like. I want you to know that there is honey in the midst of that situation. But you don't understand, Brother Kinsey. My dad's an alcoholic, and he's a terrible man when he's drunk and when he's consumed with that alcohol. He's a terrible man. I believe that, and I understand that. But I'm going to tell you right now, even in the midst of that situation, God can still use you. And young people, just because your dad's an alcoholic doesn't mean you have to become one. Just because you're raised up in some kind of a bad situation doesn't mean you have to become what you've been raised up in. My God can deliver you and set you free and raise up a testimony of deliverance.
But now, what is stronger than a lion? Okay, now I know that the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion and he's going about seeking whom he may devour. Okay, I understand that. But I'm going to ask you, what's stronger than a lion? Well, how about a stronger lion than the roaring lion? Now, the Bible says that the devil's a strong man. But there's a stronger man than the strong man. I want to know, who is the stronger man? I said, who is the stronger man? I said, who is the stronger man?
Jesus
is the stronger man. Now, we got to find it. It's got to be biblical. Is there a stronger lion than the roaring lion? I found him in the book of Revelation. Now, come on over here, lion. And I just want you to roar at me. But there's a stronger lion than the roaring lion. And it's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's stronger. And he's bigger. And he's better. Now let me tell you what releases this stronger lion to eat up and devour this roaring lion. I believe that it's found, and the key is found in the meaning of the word Judah, which means praise. Everybody say praise. And I believe that it's time for us to do more than just praise God and get happy and clappy with about Jesus. This is not recreation time. This is not entertainment time. We are not here just having fun, clapping our hands and glorifying Lord. We are in a battle and we are in a war. And when you learn how to praise God because you love Jesus, then you are releasing the stronger lion to defeat the roaring lion. And this is how you do it. All right, lion, you're the roaring lion. You're going to roar at me, and then I'm going to respond with praise, okay? You roar. Hallelujah, anyhow. All right, come on, lion, roar. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you see what I'm showing you here? It doesn't make any difference what you're going through. You need to learn how to praise God in the darkest hour. You need to learn how to praise Jesus even when it seems like there is no victory. You need to learn how to rejoice in the Lord and magnify Him no matter what. Now that's what's stronger than the roaring lion. No matter what he throws at you, no matter what comes against you, all you do is respond in praise. Now that's deeper. That's not happy and clapping. That's I'm committed and I've made up my mind. I'm not turning around. I'm going to live for God. That's not recreational praise just to get a little feel-good spirit. Brother, that's praise that magnifies the Lord. I might be faced with a tough situation, but I'm still going to respond with praise. That's what's stronger than a lion. That's what's going to pull sweetness and deliverance out of the midst of the trial. And I want you to go for it, young people. I want you to raise up a testimony out of the Word of God itself that says, I had it tough. I had to fight the devil. But I won the victory, and I'm still praising God, and I still love Jesus. You see, there's a spiritual effect that we can create with our praise, and it's called the Passover effect. The Bible talks about the Passover effect when you apply the blood. And the blood gets applied. Then he said, I will pass over you, and the death angel won't take the firstborn out of your house. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I looked up that word Passover, and it comes from a root word which means the limping dance. It goes all the way back to Jacob. When he limped because he encountered God, and God just dried up the sinew of his right thigh, and he hobbled on his thigh, but he said, I might be limping,
because of my encounter with all my troubles and my trials. But I'm still dancing. Now, if you're going to create Passover effect in your life, you might be limping. You might even be hurting. You might be going through a trial. But God, I'm still dancing. Yes, I've been through some trials. I've had to fight some lions. But mama, daddy, I haven't come to talk to you about that. I come to pass out the honey. I come to dance. Now come on, young people. You might be limping. You might be hurting. You might have a situation you don't know what to do with. But if you still love Jesus, if you're still praising God, you can create the Passover effect. It doesn't do away with the problem. It doesn't do away with the crisis. It doesn't do away with the situation, but it just passes over you. It's where it doesn't defeat you and you're not destroyed, but you're victorious. I said you're victorious in Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you want to slay the lion? And how many of you want to pass out the honey? Final point. Listen to it very carefully. If you're going to pass out the honey, there's only one place the honey is found. The Song of Solomon tells us where it is. The bride, that's the church, that's you. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. If you're going to pass out the honey, you got to learn how to talk right. And quit talking all that junk. I said you got to talk right. You got to learn how to be a witness by telling others about Jesus. That's how you pass out the honey. Open up your mouth and take a chance and tell somebody about the Savior that died on Calvary for your sins and washed them all away with the power of His blood. When you start talking to people about Jesus and telling them your testimony and speaking it out of your mouth, I believe that that is the transference of that honey, the sweetness of your testimony from your life to the other. How many of you want to do that right now in Jesus' name? How many of you have come to this youth convention? I feel the Holy Ghost working in this place right now. There's some young people that are faced with some very difficult lions. And I know that they're limping. I know that they're wounded. I know they're hurting. But I just feel right now that there's a spiritual dance going on in their heart right now in the Holy Ghost. That the enemy, yes, he's roared against them, but there's a stronger lion at work right now because somebody's been praising God in this house. Somebody's been magnifying the name of Jesus in this place. They're finding out, hey, I can have the right attitude about my problems, and I can get in a place where even though I'm in conflict, I don't have to emphasize it. I don't have to talk about it. I can lift up Jesus and worship Him and create victory and the Passover. Some of you are being traumatized by the trials you're going through, and right now God's wanting to communicate this Passover to you so that even though it's going on, it's not affecting what's going on the inside. You're still strong. You still love Jesus. You still want to do the will of God. But you got to get that love in your heart. I just want to ask you, just how much do you really love Jesus? How much do you really love Jesus? Do you love Him enough to be a witness for Him? Do you love Him enough to tell others about Him? Do you love Him enough to teach a Bible study? Do you love Him enough to say, I want to be a part of the mission of this Holy Ghost revival in this hour because I love Him with all my heart? How many of you really believe that Jesus has done this great work in you and you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb? If you know and have recognized your salvation, then you ought to lift up your praise unto Him. And you shouldn't be ashamed. You shouldn't hold your head down. You should pick your head up and say, I'm glad. I know some of you are hurting. I know some of you are going through things at home. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a victory in this building for you.
There's a victory in this house. And if you want that victory, I want you to get out from where you're standing or sitting. I want you to come to the front. I want you to walk up here. I want you to cry out to God and ask God for a step. If you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to come up here. Y'all allow them on the platform? They can come on up on the platform. You can come all the way up onto this platform to make room for those that are coming behind you. Come on. It's time for young people all over this place. Perhaps you've just gotten a little weak in your testimony. You've gotten a little weak in your testimony. Testimony is not as strong as it used to be. You're not rejoicing in Jesus. You're not rejoicing in what He's done for you. You haven't been telling others about Him. Then I want you to walk to the front and let's pray you through to a place where you can dance and create Passover. It's still going on. The death angel's still roaming around. The lion's still roaring. And he's still seeking whom he may devour. But you learn the secret of how to defeat him in Jesus' name. You got it. Now what you got to do is put it into action right now.
You better look out.
That's it. Act on it. Just look out. Because there's some young people in the Western District that's got a revelation now from the Word of God. A covenant relationship with Jesus Christ established when they were born again of water and spirit. That born again experience established the covenant, gave you authority and power over all the power of the enemy. You don't have to be intimidated anymore. You don't have to back down anymore. You don't have to be beat up anymore.